words into written text. Use of this software has the potential for vastly increasing the intellectual access to the riches of oral histories and other audio tapes. Although few people are familiar with this software, it has been under development for 70 plus years. The purpose of this presentation this morning is to discuss the results of a pilot study I conducted at the University of Wisconsin-Madison of two different kinds of voice recognition software. My criteria for success in this study was for this software to accurately create a written transcription of the contents of the tape that could be used by archivists evaluating or appraising the tapes, and by researchers wanting access to the information contained in the tapes without listening to them. The results of the pilot study show that while accurate transcription is not currently possible, it is possible for this software to identify keywords that are searchable. The problem. As many of you well know, working with spoken word material is extremely time consuming. Everyone using audio materials, from the archivists who appraise, assess, process, and describe them, to the researchers who use them, can only access the content by listening to them in real time. Unlike manuscripts, it is impossible to skim through a stack of audio recordings. If tapes come into an archive without a description of their content, archivists have to take the time to sit and listen to them, at least a sampling of them. And in many cases, it simply doesn't occur. So the content remains unknown to all. As a reference archivist, I use voice recognition software daily. I use it to create finding aids in Microsoft Word, to enter data into databases, to browse the web, answer patrons' emails. It occurred to me that perhaps the same type of software could be used on oral history tapes. Having computers automatically create transcripts could greatly increase the access, increase the speed at which archivists could process the tapes, increase the richness of their description, and make inexpensive transcripts available to researchers. Sound tapes, which typically come into an archives on analog cassette or reel-to-reel tape, could be converted to digital format and then automatically transcribed with this software. The mechanism for using voice recognition software, which you can sort of see from the slide, begins with a user speaking into a microphone attached to a computer. The software maps the sounds to words using two things: acoustic phoneme recognition, that is, recognizing spoken sounds as words, and statistical language modeling, weighing the probability that any given word will appear in a sentence. These two components together make it possible for the software to choose between similar sounding words for the most statistically likely one. So how long has this fairly amazing software been around? Well, voice recognition technology has a much longer history than most people are aware of. It's arguable that Alexander Graham Bell's telephone was the first step towards voice recognition software. After all, the telephone is a device that translates sound waves from a human voice into a modulated electronic current. However, it might be more accurate to consider the telephone as just a necessary precursor to voice recognition technology. The modern conceptual groundwork was laid by Harvey Fletcher and Homer Dudley of Bell Labs in the 1930s. The 1939 World's Fair featured Dudley's voice synthesizer called the Voder, the voice operating demonstrator, shown here. In the 1950s, Scientists had begun to figure out how to recognize sound waves made by the vocalization of single digits, similar to the graphs I've displayed here. In 1959, Fry and Dennis began using a statistical approach for recognizing speech. In the 1970s, IBM and AT&T became interested in different aspects of voice recognition technology, reflecting their respective interests and customer bases. So IBM began working on a voice-activated typewriter that was designed to recognize the voice of a specific speaker, called speaker-dependent software. AT&T developed research on software that would be able to recognize multiple voices, like on a telephone. This kind of software is known as speaker-independent. Now, while the technical and statistical aspects of this software have been fine-tuned significantly in the last 30 years, it really wasn't until the 1990s that the increase in computing ability and hard disk size of desktop computers made voice recognition feasible for individual users. In my pilot study, I evaluated both types of voice recognition software, speaker-dependent and speaker-independent. There are several speaker-dependent software packages currently available for consumers, including Dragon Naturally Speaking, IBM's Via Voice, and Microsoft Office's Speech Recognition. I chose Dragon Naturally Speaking both because of its high accuracy and because of my familiarity with it. The speaker-independent software I evaluated was Audio Mining. This software creates keyword indexes, or indices, with timestamps from audio content. It's intended for use by a team of people working at the same firm, sharing a common vocabulary, like a group of radiologists, for instance. Given these characteristics, Audio Mining should be well suited to recognizing multiple voices in a series of interviews on a particular topic. The test data I used was a series of cassette tapes containing interviews conducted by University of Wisconsin-Madison Emerita Professor June Weisberger in 2004. She interviewed 8 people about their role in the creation of the Marital Property Reform Bill, passed in 1984. The 9 speakers were 8 women, 1 man. They were raised in the Midwestern or Eastern part of the country. And for all of these speakers, English is their first language. Now, I'd like to show you the results of software transcription for a 60-second segment of one of the tapes. This first slide is the transcript Dragon Naturally Speaking created. I'll play you part of the sound clip that was transcribed, which, as you can see, is very inaccurately transcribed.
March 3rd, 2004, between June Weisberger and Linda Robertson. Okay, Linda.
Okay, do you need to check that and make sure
it's
going? Okay.
Only 3 phrases from that clip were identified correctly, and none of the important content was. The second software, Audio Mining, created this transcription, and I'm going to play you the recording again, and I think you'll see that the first couple phrases it didn't get well, but then it does.
March 3rd, 2004, between June Weisberger and Linda Robertson. Okay, Linda.
Okay, do you need to check that and make sure it's going? Okay. I was talking about what Mary Lou brought to the table. And where we were at that time was that she had just very successfully united bench and bar behind the Divorce Reform Act, which was quite revolutionary in its way. And so that was, her work there was pretty much done. she had all of this goodwill and all of these resources that she could bring to bear, and she just finished a tremendous job on a major piece of legislation. So could we just slide in another major piece of legislation and move her from protecting women at divorce to protecting people during the ongoing marriage, which actually became one of our big arguments, as I know you recall.
One of the best arguments.
Yeah.
The accuracy of the transcription that Dragon Naturally Speaking, the first software, produced was significantly lower than I anticipated. Few important keywords were transcribed. Audio mining was much more accurate in transcribing Professor Weisberger's interviews. It created transcripts that conveyed a good sense of the general topics that were covered in the interviews. Many important keywords were identified, including divorce, commission on women, marital property reform, Weisberger, and even Dreyfus. However, audio mining is very expensive, about $5,000, and requires a great deal of technical expertise to install and use. So neither of these softwares produced accurate transcripts. Between the inaccuracy of Dragon Naturally Speaking and the cost of audio mining, neither software is useful to researchers or archivists in their current state. However, the keyword identification done fairly successfully by audio mining shows great promise. There are several new voice recognition products that feature keyword search capability. One example is the custom software written by IBM, used by the Multilingual Access to Large Spoken Archives, the MALIC project. Begun in the mid-1990s, it is an oral history transcription project of videotaped interviews of 52,000 witnesses to the Nazi Holocaust. The software was able to transcribe videotapes spoken in 32 languages with varying degrees of success. For Czech, for example, they were only able to achieve a 70% accuracy rate. Other more recent software developments include Sonic Foundry's Media Site, which contains a voice recognition component with keyword searching, and Blinks, a web search engine that utilizes automatic speech recognition technology to crawl audio-video content on multimedia websites. The automatic transcription of spoken materials is a laudable goal. It could help us increase the speed of the appraisal of spoken word material and provide better intellectual access to researchers. The recent breakthrough in the use of voice recognition technology with videotape material is the culmination of 70 years of development. The voice recognition software I evaluated in this pilot study produces results that are too inaccurate to provide substantial assistance for archivists or researchers in their current version. However, we are tantalizingly close to the development of voice recognition software that could provide transcription or keyword search capability for oral histories. These are exciting times.
Thanks. My question really is other applications possible than what you actually investigated, only because your examples that you played are of high quality interview material.
Absolutely.
And my focus is not oral history, but in fact the transcription of interviews that I do regularly, that I now transcribe in the conventional way from my recording media. Sometimes these interviews run 2-3 hours at a crack, and I'd love to find a way to break through to create even 75% accurate transcriptions that would save me the sheer amount of data entry that I have to do now?
I would actually suggest the first type of software, Dragon Naturally Speaking, which is what I use every day.
Have you ever investigated the speech recognition software in Microsoft Office?
I haven't investigated it. What I hear is that it's nowhere near, it doesn't do that great a job. When I use the software, and I use it for writing papers in graduate school, on the job, all sorts of situations, I would say the accuracy for recognizing my speech is 98% to 99%.
And that's using Dragon Naturally Speaking?
Right.
But if you're... There's no Mac equivalent to that, I don't think. I think that's a PC-based software.
I think you're right, yeah. Mm-hmm. It may be that when you're doing interviews, at least you get your half, not their half. I don't know it, but it's low cost enough. It's, I think, about $180, depends. It might be worth investigating.
My last question is, did you install your own voice recognition software?
For Dragon Naturally Speaking,
yes.
I did. For the other one, the man behind you did.
Yeah, okay. So you found it not too daunting to install the Dragon Naturally Speaking?
No, it was a blink to get it done.
Thanks very much.
Hey, I'm Craig Braden from the University of Georgia, and we have an awful lot of oral histories that we do not have transcribed in any form, and we're in the process of making a number of decisions about which way to go on a number of different levels. And I was wondering if you had quantified, or at all, or planned to quantify, how many hours of transcription time to recorded time comparative to doing a written transcription using a transcriptionist. So for us, for instance, the service we use presently, it's about a 5-to-1 ratio per hour just for the transcription. But then that cuts down on our, significantly on our auditing time and our editing time. Do you see a point where this software can sort of fill those shoes, put the punctuation in the right places, and sort of equalize between, you know, the automated aspects and the human aspect?
I don't have numbers for you, and my focus wasn't getting good transcripts. Punctuation, in my personal use of Dragon Naturally Speaking, it can do punctuation just fine. The problem in when you're doing oral histories is one big thing you want is to know when I'm talking, and then it switches to when you're talking. And just knowing when my sentence ends is great, but if written, the user can't tell when my sentence ends and yours starts, it's pretty hard to do. And I'm not great at crystal balls, but I gotta say, I think that's gonna be a while before we can get that down pat. I don't know what the numbers are for when you actually use voice recognition for the first pass and then go back and correct. So I'm sorry, I don't. I think this woman here had her hand up way early.
Nina Fales from Indiana University. I'm wondering if when you used audio mining, whether did you have to give it a key list, a keyword list?
We desperately wanted to. We were only given a 30-day evaluation copy, and from what we saw, I felt it was possible to do that for general speakers. There was the help files, of course, were not terribly helpful, and it seemed like perhaps you could only do that for individual speakers if you were training individual speakers. We would have liked to do that.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to say was, just as a project, sort of as a game, I took a speech that I had recorded when I was doing some field work, and I just used the Microsoft software that comes with your computer, and instead of training it on my voice, you couldn't do this, it would take a long time. I segmented sections out that had the same phonemes, the same verbs, so I gave it training sentences from from the recorded sample, and it did pretty well. I mean, it took a long time to do that. It was just an experiment, kind of, but I think it seems to me that in general, voice recognition software does better speaker dependently, just because you have to narrow the corpus somehow, whether you give it keywords or you just let it train on a specific speaker. But if there were a way to automate that process, which it might not be really hard to do, depending on what sort of training the program requires, that might be a way to go. Again, you have this was a single speaker on one speech, and it wasn't alternating, which would be another problem. But that's maybe one possibility if you could find a way to do that more efficiently than I did.
With Dragon Naturally Speaking, they have a wonderful thing that you don't give it keywords. You say, go look at my hard disk. And it goes and looks at all your Word documents, all your Excel, and if you've got Outlook, it'll even look at all your emails. So it knows what words you speak and what style of speaking you do.
Because it's using still a statistical thing.
Yes, yeah. Well, right, the statistical thing, yes. Building a language model.
Alec McLean, Wesleyan University. To the extent that a lot of what you're working on are files, digitized files that exist, there's no reason for this to actually have to operate in real time, right?
That's right. And the audio mining is much, much, much slower than Dragon naturally speaking, but it doesn't matter.
But not slower than real time. Obviously, it's faster than real time, yeah. I assume.
Hi, I'm Les Waffen from the National Archives, and we've been using the Dragon National Speaking amongst a number of different catalogers and students to read catalog cards and then produce the text files that then can be put into the database. Am I understanding the problem with speaker dependent in an oral history is that there isn't the capability to quickly have that person being interviewed, have their voice become recognized in connection with the person doing the interview, and it just isn't there yet technically?
Right.
Because it certainly works with individual voices that have built up their recognition within Dragon.
The problem is that it does great on my voice, but if you and I are in the same interview, even if we added the training for you, first of all, you can't often do that in oral history. Say, excuse me, I know this tape is 20 years old, but how about if we go train those people? You and I talk very differently, and it's got to pick one or the other or a blend of it, and it's going to do miserably at both. That's why I had high hopes for audio mining, which is designed for a number of different speakers. And, you know, I think it's eventually going to get there. How many of you use and occasionally suffer through the phone directory assistants? Did you say 5? I thought I heard you say 5. Well, no, I said 72. But, you know, it's eventually going to get there. And eventually, this is going to work for us. It just ain't there yet.
But in creating an oral history that this gentleman was talking about now, could it not be used with that both subjects being in Dragon Natural Speaking?
It's worth a try.
Please hang up and try your call again.